Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. Actually, episode number 76. Yes, we're getting up there. And this is for Wednesday, November 1st, 2023. The show is sponsored by TLVTalk.com. Come and say what needs to be said. TLV Talk is there for you. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLV, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring into the conversation momentarily. The title of today's show is Global Depopulation, Truth or Tale? Let me say that again. The title of today's show is Global Depopulation, Tale or Truth? Yes. And we will go over that in detail. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. The show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. I'm going to say something real quick because I have something special for today's show, but let me get through this here. So I'm going to finish this as quickly as I can. This will be the quickest intro you've ever heard. And yeah, that's the donations part. Listen to me. Do yourself a favor. If you want to see these platforms grow, if you want to see bigger, badder, better, faster from them, and you already contribute when you can, if you can, do these stations a favor. Okay, even if it's only $5 a month, figure out what you do over the course of the year, divide it by 12. Next time you go in, if that's only $5 or $6 or $7, put that number down, click the little box that says make this a monthly recurring donation. You have given them the understanding that that money is going to be there every single month. Now they can add that to a budget to give you bigger, badder, better, faster. And if enough of you listening do that, then you allow these stations to grow. Have I got that right, Steve? Gee, I've never asked you that before, have I?
No, I don't think you have.
Okay, our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital truths and issues without fear of censorship or exclusion, that being, of course, the sponsor of this show, TLBTalk.com. So, a link to any references used for this show presentation will be included in tomorrow's show article published on the Liberty Beacon by noon central. And that's every Thursday, including active links to other pertinent data points and articles. All right. So now it's down to business. I am going to give you my title again, but I have an article today, and it is one that has a bit of length to it, and it is an absolutely sterling piece of writing. Okay. We are going to probably get at least 80 to 90% of that article into this show. It is that good. But I'm going to start it off with a few points, a few talking points, so that I can set the stage for that. Okay. Again, the title for my show, or mine and, excuse me, I apologize, mine and my co-host, Stephen, show. Is global depopulation tale or truth? Okay, here's some talking points. Today we will be discussing reality. Reality hidden behind the curtain Toto has yet to find the gumption to pull back. So yes, today we will discuss reality, or is it? Is it reality that a global elite caste has planned and choreographed the elimination of over 90% of humanity? Is it reality that brutal wars and violence are surging across the planet at a time when chaos already reigns? Is it reality that almost the entire globe was shamed, coerced, or forced to take multiple doses of what is easily the most dangerous pharma product ever used on humanity for the yearly flu? Is it reality that all of our government's health agencies and even our doctors intentionally lied to us about the jab putting millions, if not billions, immediately in harm's way for up to and including death of both them and their children? Is it reality that the unexplained deaths that are soaring globally among the vaccinated, but the mainstream media nor the government will even mention this to you? Is it reality that sterility or infertility are known side effects of these jabs, but you're not being told that? And how many people have been vaccinated globally? Is it reality that these jabs are now required yearly for your vulnerable, sterilized children to attend school? Is it reality that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Do you think any of those are reality, Stephen?
Yes, I do. I think all of them are.
Yeah. Yes, they are. And what we're going to do is go into the show article for today. And this is probably the quickest. It's only like 5 minutes after the hour. We're already through the intro. We're already through the talking points. And now we're about to slide into this article. And if we have time after, I'm sure Stephen and I can fill that time up with what we have to say about this article. Now, I'm not telling you that Stephen and I won't have something to input while this article is being put out. I'm not telling you that you're not going to hear my thoughts. What I am telling you is this is an article you should definitely, I don't know, go take a look at on the Liberty Beacon tomorrow. Like I said, embedded in this show article, maybe download it yourself, either read it again or pass it around. Is it worth that? Yes, it is. So let's get into it. What is, and this is by Clayton J. Baker, MD. This is a doctor writing this. And here's his title, The Depopulation Bomb, A Halloween Sci-Fi Tale. Okay, who wrote it? Clayton J. Baker, MD. What's his title? The Depopulation Bomb, A Halloween Sci-Fi Tale. Now, I'm going to tell you what you're about to hear is satire. It's fact. It's some fiction, and it's covering his butt. And you're going to be able to figure out all of that. So this is probably not only one of the best written, not only putting forward some of the best points, but one of the most entertaining articles I have read in a while. Now, Stephen, you got a chance to read it. Did it have some entertainment value?
Yes, sir, it does. It's a crack.
Okay, let's roll into it. And yes, I'm going to do more reading here than I usually do, but that doesn't mean, like I said, that we won't put our thoughts in where they're appropriate. So, again, The Depopulation Bomb, A Halloween Sci-Fi Tale, by Clayton J. Baker, MD. The following fictional story may or may not bear resemblance to events in real life. That's the way he starts his article. The following fictional story may or may not bear resemblance to events in real life. From that, Roger can expect, and I did when I started reading this, that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of resemblance. Okay, so here we go. Imagine, if you will, that you are a first-generation high-tech gazillionaire. In fact, at one time, you were said to be the richest man on Earth, although that can no longer be the case. Nevertheless, you remain unimaginably wealthy, and with all the responsibilities and burdens that such wealth brings. Given the extremely unusual circumstances of this tale, to make it more relatable, we will assign you a fictional name. Your birth certificate reads Gilbert Harvey Bates III, but the world knows you as Gil Bates. Now stop and think about what I just said, people. Gil Bates. Do a little swapping of letters there, okay? And you will see exactly who he's talking about. Gil Bates' erstwhile net worth, preeminence, stolen as it was by an upstart online retailer named Biff Jezos, it's not the only important loss he suffered. Also, in the rearview mirror is, yeah, his youth and his marriage and his position as CEO of the behemoth tech company he created, MacroHard. Listen to what I just said. MacroHard. Okay. Most of you were probably catching on, but those of you that aren't will. After Gil Bates stepped down as CEO of MacroHard, He focused on his philanthropic work. The centerpiece of this work is the immensely well-funded and therefore immensely influential Bates Foundation. The foundation's scope may be mind-bogglingly broad, but one problem especially consumed Bates. There are far too many people on this planet. In his youth, Gil Bates read a controversial book called The Overpopulation Bomb, written by a visionary scientist named Saul Derelict. Saul Derelict. That alarming book, a huge bestseller in its day, described Neo-Malthusian hell on Earth resulting from human overpopulation and proposed mass sterilization and other aggressive population reduction techniques as the solution. Gil Bates became convinced and remains convinced, especially as the worldwide human population has soared beyond 8 billion units, that Homo sapiens have obscenely overpopulated the planet. Once Bates had sold software packages to the great majority of them, he vowed that his existential threat to the planet must be addressed. So he sold them all the software they would buy, and now he's got to get rid of them. Okay, back to the article. But what was to be done? How could this great affront to Gaia be reconciled? When it comes to a responsibility so great, a task so immense, no single man, even Gil Bates, could hope to accomplish it alone. Fortunately, for the future of Earth, Bates knew a host of like-minded, enlightened elites, preeminent individuals of great wealth, power, and worldwide influence. Among the most important, a dour Teutonic economist named Kraut Schwab, the son of an ambitious industrialist who built flamethrowers for the Third Reich. Schwab is the founder and chairman of the World Enslavement Forum, the WEF. The forum has become the premier worldwide gathering of hyper elites who wish to discuss globalist policies and enjoy the company of high-end prostitutes free from the prying eyes of commoners. That's the first one. The second one, an immensely powerful, if embarrassingly vertically challenged, American health bureaucrat named Dr. Fantoni Fauci. Named Dr. Fantoni Fauci. For decades, Dr. Fauci controlled the overwhelming majority of U.S. government medical research funding. As such, no one in the vast American network of hospitals, research institutes, or universities dares to cross Dr. Fauci, and he wields similar influence internationally. In fact, overseas funding for multiple secret virology research laboratories as far away as China. Who else? A mysterious veterinarian named, Adalbert Gahuld. Gahuld is the CEO of Kaiser Incorporated, the world's largest and most rapacious pharmaceutical company, with which Gahola has grown into a veritable modern-day IG Farben. In his earlier days, Gahuld oversaw the development, listen to me, of a vaccine that successfully induces the chemical castration and sterilization into swine. In other words, he invented a vaccine that would make pigs sterile. And I don't know, did they shoot him in the eye with it, Steve? Is that where they come up with the saying, in a pig's eye?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, I will continue. The consensus reached after lengthy consultations with these men and other luminaries was that the worldwide population must be reduced from 8 billion to 500 million units. Okay, this is Roger talking. How many of you remember the Georgia Guidestones? Keep the population of humanity under 500 million in tune with nature. Okay, so the elites always broadcast what they are wanting to do. The arrogance far supersedes their intelligence. But anyway, let me go over that short paragraph again. The consensus reached after lengthy consultations with these men by Gil Bates and other luminaries was that the worldwide population must be reduced from 8 billion to 500 million units. But how? Several possible avenues were proposed. War. That's the first one. War has been used for millennia to reduce populations and, while highly affected locally or regionally, it would be entirely ineffective at removing the necessary 15/16 of the people on Earth. War, unless we're talking about a global nuclear war, which would have just as much bad effect on them as it would on us, and that's Roger talking. After all, and we're going back to his article, after all, the deadliest war in history, World War II, resulted in a mere 80 million deaths. Listen to what he said. A mere 80 million deaths, just 3% of the world's population at that time. How about the use of a bomb? The use of a bomb was considered a special kind of bomb, reminiscent of, say, the neutron bomb of yore, which would supposedly reduce populations while sparing infrastructure. Yeah, basically, it is a wave of radiation that kills everything in its path without knocking buildings down, so on and so forth. It would supposedly reduce population while sparing infrastructure. This seemed closer to the mark than all-out war. But ultimately, it was determined that setting off bombs would be both impractical and far too obvious. After all, even herds of animals or herd animals will not consent to being openly and massively slaughtered, no matter how necessary the culling may be. The herd must be kept forever in the dark. So now we've gone over war and we've gone over a bomb. How about a plague, a pestilence, a pandemic seem to be more promising? Past naturally occurring pandemics have reduced human population much more successfully than wars have. The Black Death from 1346 to 1353 may have reduced the world's population at the time, which was far smaller than it is today, but it may have reduced the global population at that time by as much as 25%. Yes, a much more encouraging number than the measly 3% that happened because of World War II. As an added economic bonus, the Black Death served as a very effective concentrator of wealth for the survivors, as it caused minimal collateral property loss. We could see an entire town, and this is Roger talking, or an entire community killed by this massive pandemic in 1346. But that didn't destroy any of the buildings like war would have, or a bomb would have. So when the plague was gone, those who had survived, how much did they have? Because all of the property was sitting in front of them, and all who owned it were dead. So those are the three discussions, the three points of discussion they had. How do we reduce this global population? War, the use of a bomb, or a plague / pandemic? Okay. However, a more detailed review of historical worldwide population estimates demonstrated that a pandemic alone could only serve as a temporizing measure at best. Most estimates show that by 1400, the worldwide population had unfortunately returned to its pre-plague days. So we're talking that in less than 50 years, 25% of the population that had, you know, died had returned, or not, they hadn't been returned, but the numbers had returned to those numbers. So again, what they're saying is plague by itself may be, okay, that'll get rid of a lot of people, but they're going to come back. Clearly, the necessary 94% reduction in population could not be achieved by culling the herd alone. Sterilization would be needed as well. But how to achieve such mass sterilization? Why? Homo sapiens possess, I just got a little tear in my eye. Anyway, many Homo sapiens possess an intense desire to procreate. Yes, we do. That's the source of the problem. After all, we have a tendency to want to procreate. Unfortunately, prior to historical initiatives for mandatory sterilization, even those of limited scale and scope, such as those targeting the mentally deficient, you can go to Canada nowadays and you can tell them, hey, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. And they will put you to sleep. And they're moving into other areas. And mentally deficient is also one of them. But again, let me go back to this article. Okay, even those of limited scope and scale, such as targeting the mentally deficient, have met great opposition, at least in the so-called free nations. And I would say up until now, but maybe not so much today. The next point, however, listen to me, however, a vaccine could be used for mass sterilization. Gulas. Earlier work at Kaiser was proof of this, but a fundamental problem remained. Remember, he's the guy that invented the vaccine that sterilized pigs. But a fundamental problem remained: how to get the unsuspecting population, specifically its children and young adults, to take the stealth sterilizing inoculation. The solution, when it came, was a thing of beauty, sublimely subtle and, I don't know, symmetric, all symmetrical. The answer was a two-step process, a pandemic and a vaccine. Oh, my God! One population reduction device would be released, presented as a worldwide plague. It would be followed by a second population reduction device presented as the cure. And the technology was already in place to make it happen. It merely had to be perfected, then enacted. Employing the black magic of gain-of-function virology research, an animal respiratory virus previously never infecting humans, was genetically engineered to readily infect and spread amongst humans. At a key moment in political history, when a particularly bothersome populist American president named T. Ronald Dump, that's exactly what he called him, okay? An American president named T. Ronald Dump was running for re-election. The virus was released from a Chinese laboratory into the human population. As the new virus spread, reports of the death and devastation it wrought were spread well. In actuality, the virus had been engineered so that it was deadly only to the frail and the chronically ill or the very old, just like any flu is. Roger said that last part. It was cleverly propagandized, however, as a threat to persons of all ages, a modern-day Black Death of sorts. How many of you heard, Roger speaking, the lies about how many people actually died from this? How many people who actually instead died from being put on ventilators? How many people actually died from being put on remdesivir, which was so deadly it's insane? How many people actually died from? But that was used to beef up numbers to frighten the entire planet into believing we were all dying from COVID. Again, he says, it was cleverly propagandized, however, as a threat to persons of all ages, a modern day Black Death of sorts, when they knew perfectly well it wasn't, up into and including the CEO of Moderna saying, unless you have several severe comorbidities, this will hit you no harder than the yearly flu. The U.S. deep state, again, his article, the U.S. deep state desperate to disrupt the dump presidency and remove him from office were willing partners to manage the control and manipulation of the population through propaganda and to enforce unprecedented prolonged lockdowns of society. Remarkably, they even convinced President Dump to sanction the lockdowns and to fund the development of the vaccine. Most other countries jumped on board and followed suit. The new virus rapidly killed off many of the oldest, sickest members of society, as would be expected of a novel respiratory virus or a bad flu year, from Roger. The locked down and isolated population were berated with media messages that stirred up mass terror of the virus. Businesses were closed, saved for those deemed essential. Schools were closed, though children were already known to have been at statistically zero risk of death. They knew this. Dissenters were harassed, scapegoated, and punished. Now remember that this is a sci-fi story. I will continue. Then a solution to the pandemic was presented. The vaccine. The vaccine was the savior, the only way out of this crisis. A few irritating constraints, dissenters fought back. A few. They protested for civil rights. They stressed the near impossibility of producing an effective vaccine against a rapidly mutating respiratory virus. They identified numerous safety signals found in the vaccine trials. They tried to expose these as best they could, but the mainstream media drowned them out. The social media companies controlled by the deep state censored them ruthlessly. And after all, once the vaccines were mandated, most people took at least a couple of doses. And the joke was on the dissenters. In other more important respect, it's just people are looking at this, obviously, from the wrong aspect. These meddlesome do-gooders were indeed intelligent enough to identify the toxicities inherent in the vaccines, but they decried them as safety signals. The fatal toxicities they identified still seemed to them to be flaws, mistakes, and the unfortunate results of a hasty and mad rush to make money off of the pandemic. Imagine their naivete. Early in the rollout, or the vaccine rollout, young women reported abnormal vaginal bleeding and other menstrual problems after receiving the vaccines, raising concerns about potential unintended consequences to female reproduction. Oh, gee, imagine that. Pathologists found ovaries, infiltrated with multiple toxins from the vaccines, both the dreaded spike protein, yes, that's what he put, spike protein, and the virus and lucid nanoparticles. Lucid nanoparticles from the vaccine delivery system. Even occluded fallopian tubes were identified. Oh, God. Soon thereafter, reports appeared in the alternative media of dramatically increased numbers of sudden deaths, primarily in young men after receiving the vaccine. It often visibly occurred in athletes while they were playing on the field. This caused considerable alarm, impossible as it was to hide.
Hey, Roger?
Yeah.
You ready for the break?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, we'll be right back. 60 seconds.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Okay, so let's go over the last piece before. And before I even do that, look. Most of you have listened to the shows that Stephen and I have done for the last year, okay? A lot of what I'm talking about here was already brought up. A lot of what I'm talking about here, I don't know, made its pass through reality. So what makes this article as entertaining as it is he doesn't name companies, he doesn't name individuals, he doesn't name certain things that can be – I don't know, a serious track back. What he does do is he makes it so damn obvious you can put all the pieces together. And he backs up everything that people like Stephen and myself have been saying for the last couple of years. But he does it with the ability for you to chuckle. Have I got that right, Steve?
Yes, he does.
Oh, see, and he's chuckling. Okay. All right, so let's go over the last piece before the break, and then we will continue. Soon after, reports appeared in the alternative media of dramatically increased numbers of sudden deaths, primarily in young men, after receiving the vaccine. Okay, it often visibly occurred in athletes while playing on the field. This caused considerable alarm, and it was impossible, basically, to hide. Yeah, it's happening on the field while they're playing. Yeah, it's hard to hide that. In a masterful demonstration of the limited hangout, and again, yeah, this is him talking, not me, officials acknowledged the sudden death phenomenon, but would not even allow mention of the vaccine as a possible cause within the mainstream medical community. Instead, protocols and clinics for this sudden epidemic of heart disease in the young were established, but strangely without any official curiosity as to the cause. All they knew for sure was that it couldn't be the vaccine, except when you go, and this is Roger talking, when you go behind the scenes and do a little research, what you find out is 99.9% of people suffering from this quote-unquote sudden death are fully vaccinated. Okay, but you're not going to hear that. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even make that association. So let's continue with his article. Of course, the infamous spike protein, and yes, he uses spike protein, the same viral antigen chosen by the vaccine's designers to induce the vaccinated patient's body to produce in quantity, just happens to be the most toxic part of the virus. The spike protein deposits itself in tissues throughout the body, wreaking havoc wherever it goes. Remember, people, this is Roger. This is written by an MD. Okay? It has a particular affinity for heart muscle. The spike protein has a particular affinity, myocarditis, for the heart muscle, causing the inflammatory process known as myocarditis that leads to cardiac arrest. Spoke doesn't stop with the heart, spoke Protein. However, it is a remarkably versatile toxin. It doesn't stop with the heart. That in itself screams volumes, okay? But when you say something like it's a remarkably versatile toxin, a sort of Swiss Army monkey wrench in the human body, it causes gigantic, gruesome, rubbery blood clots in the vascular system, and it causes seizures in the central nervous system. The aforementioned deposits in ovaries and fallopian tubes, and testes for that matter, etc., etc. What a spoke of, yeah, that was a joke from me. What a stroke of genius to choose spoke as the antigen the vaccines induced replication of. So this thing goes into the body, those spike proteins, which most vaccines are supposed to stay, and this is Roger talking, right in the vicinity of where you were vaccinated. These spike proteins go throughout the entire body and start mass producing. Everywhere they go, they wreak havoc, and they like to focus on the heart. They like to focus on the brain. They like to focus on the testes. They like to focus on the liver. They like to focus on the ovaries. Are you catching my drift, people? Yeah, let's get back to the article. The vaccine held another nasty secret, which even the pathetic, naive resistance only recognized much later. And yes, Stephen and I are part of the pathetic, naive resistance. Remember, this is satire. The vaccines were contaminated, yeah, with plasmids containing MV40 and MV40-like DNA sequences. Yes, that MV40, the monkey virus known to cause cancer in multiple animal species, and the only reason you don't know for a fact that it causes cancer in human beings, as Roger talking, is because they won't let you know that. Does it? Oh, yeah. What's one of the biggest things screaming up all across the planet? Well, let's go on with his article. Could the appearance of so-called turbo cancers, let me say that again, could the appearance, of so-called turbo cancers in vaccinated persons somehow be related to this, I don't know, contamination? Well, another limited hangout, this time courtesy of Healthcare Canada, took care of that. Excess death rates rose dramatically after the vaccine rollout, but birth rates plummeted. So in other words, more and more people are dying across the planet every single day. The number and the rate gets higher. But at the same time, the amount of people being born is dropping. He uses the word plummeted. So let me read his sentence again. Excess death rates rose dramatically after the vaccine rollout. Birth rates plummeted. To the do-gooders, refuseniks, and dissidents, this was a scandal. In other words, to people like me, to people like Steve, this was an issue. This was a scandal. But what did they know? What did people like Steve and I know? To use a phrase all too familiar to the seasoned software developer, those toxicities, or toxicities, were not bugs, but features. In other words, this wasn't something that they didn't know wasn't supposed to happen. This was something that these vaccines were programmed to do. The vaccines were working exactly as they were supposed to work, his words. Billy plebes, the vaccines were actually a deliberate multi-pronged population reduction device. Damn it, how many times has Roger said that? And this doctor is putting it in your face and giving you a chance to chuckle with it. These vaccines were designed to kill a percentage of young people, mostly male, outright, to poison and disable the female reproductive system at multiple points, and to insert teratogenic plasmids into the recipient's cells to pick off others at undisclosed later dates. They were merely packaged and marketed as vaccines against a laboratory manufactured flu-like illness. As successful as they have been, there remains so much more work yet to be done. And of course, this is him with his satire again. As successful as these vaccines have been, there remains so much work to be done. A definite lull occurred in the population's acceptance of repeated injections of the vaccine. The dissidents may be naive, but they are persistent and sometimes effective to a degree, but ultimately they will fail. Again, talking about people like Steve and myself. The general population is lazy, uneducated, and easily terrified. Some say that they are being done a favor by being called. They are accustomed to the precedent set by other vaccines. Their reluctance will be worn down with time. Of course, respiratory viruses are imperfect targets for vaccines. Once again, that's not a bug, it's a feature. It only means that a new booster of the vaccine will be needed every year at least. Gee, how often do you get a flu vaccine? Every year, isn't it? Why? Because, yeah, they're a respiratory virus and they change often. They morph. Yeah. With each new round of boosters, a new population of girls and young men will be rendered infertile. A new group of boys and young men will suffer cardiac arrest, a very quick and painless way to die, really. What are we talking about here, people? And we're talking today about giving this to our six-month-old and making our young children, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, get this every year before they go to school. Countless others will contact cancers. They will, and the thing of it is, the contraction of cancers globally, and this is Roger speaking, I have seen numbers. They are exploding all over the planet, especially in places like Israel, which is one of the most vaccinated and one of the most early vaccinated and multiple vaccinated countries on the planet. The cancer in Israel is exploding. And anywhere else, there was a big take up. So, countless others will contract cancers, turbo cancers, to use the current term for these rapidly progressing and deadly malignancies, often of unusual types, bone cancers, muscle cancers, and other former rarities, not anymore. Now, an easy way to die, not cancer. Admittedly, cancer is never an easy way to die. But these tumors mercifully progress to end stage very swiftly, which is why you would call it a turbo cancer. And their value as a population reduction device today is undeniable. Have no fear. It is only a matter of time, only a matter of lather, rinse, repeat. As long as the herd allows itself to be sent through the sheep dip whenever and however often the shepherds proclaim is necessary, H. sapiens will get to 500 million from 8 billion. All courtesy of a type of bomb, after all, but in this case, a microscopic bomb that is released in each person via teeny little injections. What's it called? the depopulation bomb. Happy Halloween. Now let's go all the way back to the title of his article, The Depopulation Bomb, a Halloween sci-fi tale. So everything he told you here didn't use actual names of companies or individuals. But what it did do is it set up a scenario that people like Stephen and I have been talking about for several years. This doctor, without actually saying any of this, has backed up everything we have said. When people hear about the unexplained deaths going on across the planet at an ever-increasing number, okay, when they hear about that, it's like, well, I haven't heard anything about this before. This is one of the most well-hidden things out there. What else? How many people go in for a fertility check before they get married or before they start to or mean prepare to have children? Okay, so they can know what their expectations are. How many people have done research on the growing, massively exploding infertility across this planet? And how many of you know that of that huge spike in infertility, a massive majority of them are fully vaccinated? Now, if you stop and listen to what this gentleman said, what he said was that this couldn't be done in one process. It couldn't be a nuclear war. It couldn't be a neutron bomb. It couldn't even be a conventional war. It couldn't be. And it couldn't be a virus in itself, because even that proved that a few years later, the population was growing at an exponential rate again. So it had to be a multiple process. Gee, how many times have you heard Stephen and Roger tell you that the virus, supposed COVID-19 virus, SARS-CoV-2, was intentionally spread across the planet, and the vaccine, which had already been prepared, they have been working on it for over 10 years, had already been prepared, was there to be the cure. So now we know that they scared the holy living crap. Okay, well, I knew it back then, but now we've got a doctor basically reinforcing what we've been trying to tell you, and I like that. But we know that, you know, the global elitists did everything they could to terrorize an entire globe into taking a population reduction bomb. And they succeeded. I will tell you, I'm 69 and a half years old, that by the time I'm 75 years old, the population of this planet will be a mere fraction of what it is today. Because a lot of people won't listen to this. A lot of people won't believe us. A lot of people won't even believe this great article I just read to you. And that's the closest I've ever come to reading an article word for word. Was it worth it? To me, it is. And if you want to get the full force of it, please go to tomorrow, go to the Liberty Beacon, and you will see anytime after noon the Eagle's Eye Report up on the big slideshow. Click on that slide. It will take you to the article, and this show will be linked in. I mean, this article will be linked in there.
Say, Roger?
Please. Yes.
I just thought of something.
Sure.
They don't have to keep track of the population for another almost six full years. Because they
Why?
Do it every 10 yeah. years. Every 10 years.
Yes. Every 10 years. But the thing of it is, they don't have to. But at the same time, we're saying that unexplained deaths or sudden deaths are exploding all over the planet. And how many wars have we got going on? What's going on in Gaza right now? What's going on at our southern border right now? What's going on? And why does everybody look around them today and see one disaster after another, distracting your attention away from what?
Yep.
What your attention, and thank you, Steve, you're right, what your attention should never be focused on today, and this great article pretty much pointed that out, what your attention should never be focused on today are two things, okay? How many people are dying from the vaccines, the sudden death that is increasing at an exponential rate globally? And the second thing is the massive increase in people that will never have babies. You put the two of them together, and in 5 years or 6 years, like I said, when I'm 75, the population of this planet will be much less than it is today. Have I got that wrong, Steve?
Not that I can see.
And the thing of it is, for most people who don't believe this, for most people who don't, and I got another thing sent to me today by somebody I trust, and no, I won't mention that at this point, but I will mention what was sent, okay? And that is this. It is estimated by some researchers that those who have had multiple COVID-19 jabs may have lost as much as 24 years off of their life. This is what their research is saying. Those who are fully vaccinated could be could actually lose up to 24 years off their life. I don't know exactly how they came to it, and I can't tell you that's an absolute fact. I do trust the source, and I will be digging into that source a little bit more, probably later on today, to see how much of that I can actually bring forward. But if you stop and consider what I just said, if people are living 24 years less, and the average age is, say, 84, you've got people dying off at 60 years old. How many people in this country are 60 years old or older? The baby boomers, I believe, are the largest portion of this population. That's me. That's Steve. Okay? So if that is going to have a massive effect on us, if the young kids can't make babies and people are dying all across the planet, we are looking at exactly what Stephen and I have been screaming about. Well, I've been screaming, Steve's been talking, for the last couple of years. Have I got that right, Stephen? Didn't we just see a doctor pretty much say with a chuckle, everything you and I have been telling them is spot on?
Uh-huh. Last 3 years. 3.5 years.
Yep. And I got to tell you something. I can't think of a better person to do a show with than you, because every time I need you to back me up on something, and I know you won't if you don't believe it or you don't agree, but you do. And the only problem I have with you, Steve, and I want the whole audience to hear this, is that you just talk way too much.
I hear you. I got to work on that.
Obviously, it's just the opposite. Remember, this is a satire show. Meaning you don't talk enough. Step in a little bit more and tell us how you think. I think we'd all enjoy that. But you heard all of this. So give us about a 1 minute wrap up. Tell us what you think of what you just heard, because I think this guy went overboard to make something that people could read, could tolerate, because that little bit of, I don't know, humor he put in there will keep you reading.
About a 1 minute summation? Is that what you want?
Well, as long as you want.
Well,
what I'm saying is not 10 words.
Yeah, you know, I try to think of it, you know, memes are today's newspapers.
Yes. Oh, you're right.
Memes are today's newspapers. They hate to be criticized for any reason whatsoever.
Yes.
A lot of people don't really like to be criticized, but they hate it. They want to be adjuled. They want to be held up on pedestals. They want to be praised, and any sort of criticism, you know, it's just eats away at the soul that they don't have.
I would tell you that the biggest problem that the elites feel, okay, and you've got to remember that we are mere cattle to them, okay? We are what gets the work done. We are whatever they need done, okay? We are basically cattle to these people, okay? For anybody out there who believes that they think on our level, or that they give a damn if 20 or 30 or 80 million people died during World War II, for the elitist caste to get what they wanted. How many people died in World War I for the exact same reason? Almost every single war that has ever been, that we've ever suffered on this planet, has been an elitist caste maneuvering for their gain. And they don't give a damn how many of you and I die. Well, we are here to do their bidding, whether we know it or not. And in most cases, we don't even know it.
People don't even actually realize that just 3 years after the war, China had their revolution, and they supposedly lost like 80 million just
80
over there.
Million people.
Yep. Just over there in China, yeah.
Yep. And then you all got to remember there was also some crap going on in the Soviet Union, which now we have Russia. But before that, you had, you know, just prior to World War II, you had a major revolution in Russia.
Yeah, well, and about 30-some-odd years, 1917, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, all of this, what they have learned is that wars aren't big enough, that viruses don't last long enough, okay? That bombs, we don't have enough of, and if we use the wrong kind, we're going to be killing them too. So what they needed was a component that would use the best of two, and what were those? The vaccine, which would deliver the sterility and the spoke protein. Yes. And the virus, which would they would use to bring the entire globe into a point of terror. So they would take that vaccine. Steve, I am very, very, very glad that I found this article. This doctor has done a great job, and I appreciate the fact that you let me go all the way through that. And one of these days, soon, for anybody who doesn't know this, Stephen's going to be calling the shots on the last show of this month and the first show of next month. He may even be the host and I will be the co-host, but it's the discussion that will be up to Stephen. So
Wow. You've
already got two topics, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to that. I really am. This way, Stephen will talk more. Okay. All right, so look, for everybody listening, what we've gone through today is the exact same thing we went through 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago. This is exactly the same material. It's a whole lot different when you have a doctor who is looking all around him at everything that's going on and putting it down on paper. And oh my God, doesn't it sound like Roger wrote that? Oh my God, doesn't it sound like Steve wrote that? Oh my God. And you know what? Nothing makes people like Steve or I feel better than to know the people of education, because it takes a lot of education to be a doctor, are not only backing us up but giving us the details. Have I got that right, Steve?
Yes, I've often thought since the last 10 years or so, getting an education doesn't matter what it is, what the field is. It doesn't really have much to do with intelligence. It has to do with memory.
Yes. Very much so. I agree with you. And there are smart people out there with very little ability to remember who really come off as being stupid. All right. How much longer we got here?
That's just about it there.
All right, then let me say thank you again, Stephen. I appreciate you coming in at any point on these shows, and I'm looking forward to doing the shows that you're going to pick at the end of this month and the first week of next month. I'm really looking forward to that. And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, until next time, folks.